Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr., Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writer, Cincinnati.com, Cincinnati Inquirer. I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back. What? Thank you, Jim, for taking over with the bootleg BBP last week.
Yeah.
While I was hanging out in a hospital for a few days. Very exciting. The birth of my first child, my daughter Mabel.
Congratulations.
Little May Daner. She's a bundle of joy. I'm super excited. It's great. Thank you to everybody that sent all of your congratulations along with questions of whether the Bengals would sign Nick Mangold.
I'm not going to apologize for that. No. I think it just shows how much people loved you.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. And it felt kind of serious where it was like, oh, you know what? Children are a joy. They're so precious. Dot, dot, dot. Seriously, though. Mangold? No, seriously. Like, are we? I would expect nothing less. But yeah, it's been a wild week. May came 3 weeks early, so I wasn't exactly anticipating a rookie camp baby.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, that Friday, boom, there we were going to the hospital. And hey, what do you know? There we go. Now I'm a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm a dad.
You know, it's something going around in the Bengals locker room, Paul. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's so many babies.
Babies are popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Of course, AJ Green had one last year, and then Dalton had their second this past offseason.
Pierman's had two.
Yeah. Pierman was just about a week before May was. So, I mean, yeah, it's everybody's having babies. This is how the world works. Procreation is a big part of the whole plan, I feel like. You know, we shouldn't be so surprised about it. Antonio Cromartie's having another one.
Yeah.
14 for him.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm on one, all right? I'm happy with one and where I'm at now. But yeah, so again, thank you to everybody that sent shout outs and congratulations and, you know, everybody for bearing with me. I'm sort of kind of pretty much still off the grid, but I wanted to stay in the BBP loop.
Yeah.
And you know, keep in the mix with this because we got to keep it going. Life happens. It comes at you fast.
It does.
But the BBP does not stop. Every
it
week.
Does not.
We've got to keep coming. And next week, just for everybody, next week, OTA practice and availabilities will now be on Tuesdays for the next 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
In a row. So these will be coming out a little bit later than these Monday, Tuesdays, because we're going to wait until after the OTA practice and availability to record for you guys, and we'll post it up as soon as we can. So it'll be more like late Tuesday, Wednesday.
Today, yeah.
We'll be able to get it up for you, but we'll have way more content in it. We don't want to just, you know, put it up and then all of a sudden everything changes the next day when someone comes up, pulls a hammy or something like that. Anyway, so yeah, so as far as the Bengals go, Jim, you've kind of been in there I missed rookie camp and I've missed the last couple of availabilities. Really, vet reaction has been the biggest thing at this point. And, you know, I think everybody sort of said the right things. What's been some of your biggest takeaways from what we've seen the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting, Paul, because a lot of the focus has been on the first two picks. And, I guess rightfully so. They're the first two picks. And John Ross and Joe Mixon and just sort of the speed element. I think for all of the Bengals players, they've seen highlights. Some of them are more into college game than others, so they maybe watched actual film of these guys. And the speed pops out to them even. Now, A.J. Green, it was interesting because, you know, he's like, well, John Ross should help me, but until he proves he can, like, I'm still going to get double and triple teamed.
Exactly.
But, he still feels, though, that'll happen. The defensively, really, Paul, there hasn't been – it was just really quiet. You know, like and I don't know – and I think because Jordan Willis, the number three pick, it's sort of like status quo, new draft pick, part of the rotation, have to develop, we'll work him in. Whereas I think the focus was on Ross and Mixon in a lot of ways, Paul, because I think everyone feels they will help them week one.
Yeah.
Whereas all these other guys.
Maybe Jake Elliott.
And nobody really cares about the kicker until he misses.
They really don't.
So, you know what I mean? So I would say that would be the biggest takeaway from the last 2 weeks is just those guys are fast,
mm-hmm.
and we need to score points.
Jeremy Hill has sort of aggressively taken this on.
Yeah.
Not that I thought he would pout. And he has a history of saying the right things.
He does.
And he also has a history of that not really meaning much, it appears. But he has taken it on pretty aggressively and saying, you know, we are going to be talented. What we can do to people with all of us is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's a good thing. I mean, you certainly don't want him to be disgruntled.
Right.
And maybe he is privately, but he hasn't shown a lick of that. Publicly, seems to be relatively excited about the whole thing. So I think that's a fairly good development. Here's an interesting thing, is that not until today, we're recording this on Monday, not until today had the quarterback even talked.
Right, since the draft, yeah.
Since the draft. And nowhere does that happen. Almost nowhere. Except Cleveland, when they don't know who the quarterback is.
Right.
And this is a quarterback who, over the course of his career, has been one of the more polarizing figures in this league. And all of these offensive pieces are added, and no one, it wasn't really a big deal what the quarterback thought.
Right.
And it's just kind of an odd thing that's where we're at now with this. Obviously, Dalton and Green are the known quantities here. We just know what they are.
Right.
But the fact that we don't talk about the quarterback very often, I don't know if that's on us or if it's really just not that interesting or what, but I do think it's worth discussing right now how all this does affect him because... You know, there's a lot going on there with a guy who didn't play as well. The offense didn't play as well as they wanted to. And clearly them getting all these weapons was sort of a way to say we need to get Dalton back into like he was in 2015 when he had all the weapons and was just
right.
Killing it MVP style.
Yeah, it is interesting. He just to bring you guys inside, Andy's usually around. He's not like a lot of other quarterbacks in the league who are standoffish, but it was put it this way. He's around enough that we noticed the fact that he wasn't around these last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right though, Paul, cause I guess what I find interesting about it and you're right. It was about these weapons, but it wasn't about. At least the coaches and the team, it wasn't about making Andy better, although that's what it is. Because he's a guy who needs, he's not Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. He needs superior talent, I think, even though I think he's above average.
Mm-hmm.
Above average still means you need, like, really good guys to play with you.
Absolutely.
But it was about how, part of it was how, that like it was just he's good enough in their mind, I guess, and everyone else's mind in that locker room, that it's just like extra stuff. It's like extra toys for him to play with.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, he really needs these things. I don't know if that. I don't know. Maybe the listeners are like, "What are you saying?" You're like mumbling out of both sides of your mouth. But it's kind of. But I think it's two different.
Things. I was trying to think of this today as if the quarterback, if you're comparing a quarterback to a point guard, right? Andy Dalton is not a score first point guard, right? No. He's, you know, he's not, you know, whatever. Steph Curry, he's whoever you want to talk about.
Right.
He's not a point guard, John Wall,
right?
Who's going to go out and drop 40,
right?
And whatever. He is a guy that is out there to distribute. He's yes. like Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
Right? Or he's like, I thought the best comparison that I could come up with, this is for any NBA honks that we have around here. You are.
Yeah.
You're an NBA guy. And tell me if you like this, because we haven't talked about this before. I think he's like Chris Paul in a way. And people are like, oh, Andy Dalton's not Chris Paul. He's not that
Dude,
good.
Dude, this is but he, let me tell great you, comp.
But here's why. The team is better when Chris Paul doesn't have to score.
Yeah.
The Clippers are better when Chris Paul doesn't have to score, when he can just go out there and distribute.
Right.
When it's too much on Chris Paul to score and distribute, the whole ship comes down
yeah.
for the Clips.
People say Chris Paul can't win a playoff series either.
Clippers also haven't
yeah,
won the playoffs.
That's a comp in so many good ways.
Yeah, I know.
But you're right, though, because there are the day, and we saw this the last 2 years, Paul, where Andy Dalton has gotten better, in my opinion. I think metrics and analytics and film and like talk to people, whatever. So there, I think in the last 2 years, he's done things on a game where you're like, wow, the Bengals won mostly because the quarterback played really well this week.
Mm-hmm.
But just like last year, there was that 4-game stretch where he disappeared for a while. Like he was okay.
Yeah.
And the team didn't win. Because
he was okay.
He was just okay, and Tyler Eifert was hurt, and Jeremy Hill and Gio couldn't run, and AJ was triple teamed, and it just – so, no, I think that's a really – but so he's got that in him, but not to the point where it's
– he needs the weapons there yeah, all the time.
Right.
And that's just what he is, and that's okay. There's four dudes in this league that can do it without yeah. weapons there all the time, okay? It's just the way it – and that's fine. And, I you know, Andy Benoit – From Sports Illustrated and MMQB wrote a thing on how this draft perfectly, you know, accentuated what the Bengals need and can really make their – he even used the word unstoppable, could make their offense unstoppable. And I thought his point was great, and it's something we've talked about a lot, what we've been talking about here. Joe Mixon, John Ross, and then some health at tight end with Tyler Eifert, AJ, all these things. Those are guys that – They're percentage matchup guys, right? Yeah. Andy Dalton, what he does do great, what he is maybe one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL right now at, is pre-snap, reading, chess gaming it
right.
before the snap, and knowing where he wants to go when it's time to go there because he knows where his matchup is.
Right.
And to play his percentage matchup. You know, he's great at figuring out, okay, I got tight end on a backer here. I got AJ right. on Darrell Revis here. I've got this. I can move this guy here and that guy over here to set this up to get that. So now that's like a 75% shot over here. It's like one big algorithm.
Right.
He's really good at that stuff. And in 2015, when he was playing MVP level, he was great at that stuff. You saw him do it game in and game out. That
yeah.
The Baltimore game, the game-winning drive
right.
in particular stands out. That when he moved everybody around to get the ball to AJ in the corner and
right.
with as the clock was going. I mean, he's just great at that stuff. You now give him guys that create that where he has Green and the speed matchup issue here with Ross and Eifert in the seam, and then he's got Mixon who he can flex out or put in the back, bring into the backfield
right.
and run between the tackles, and all these other all these pieces. Tyler Boyd is there if you get something against the back. I just feel it plays what all these weapons do is play perfectly into what he does best, and I think that's really that's why they were so aggressive in going after skill positions,
right. And I think what 2016 showed the Bengals front office and coaching staff to an extent is Andy Dalton, for as much as he improved in 15 and took a step in their eyes, and for as good as he played in the early part of last year, he didn't turn into Aaron Rodgers. Mm-mm. Now, Andy can run around a little bit. This is why I'm not saying Tom Brady, because Andy can move. But, like, Aaron Rodgers has had offensive lines that were giving up 40 sacks, or bad enough to give up 40 sacks. There was times when you had street free agents in the backfield with him and some dudes running routes, and Aaron Rodgers did what he did. So Andy improved, but he didn't take, like, he didn't go from, you know, above average to top 3-4 elite.
Right.
And that's fine. And like you said, that's fine. And I think we all kind of knew that, but I think 16 maybe proved that.
Yeah.
So, again, the team goes back to that formula of 15 of let's look, Brandon LaFell's nice. Tyler Boyd, nice piece. You know, Mixon has a skill set that I think really excites people in that building, which we talked about, you know, well before he was even selected. So those are two big guys. And you know, I know people are like, what about the offensive line? But really, like, if I think we saw at times last year, Paul, if all the gears are rolling, the quarterback can kind of work around some of the O-line stuff if it's, you know,
serviceable.
Right.
I just don't know if it will be, and that's the question.
How can it be worse than 41 sacks? I guess that's my only, like...
Well, they had 41 sacks, and the only two guys are gone that were any good. So how can it be worse? That's how it can be worse. I don't know what else to say.
Right.
I had someone, I don't know if I might have talked about this in a recent podcast, so I apologize if I did. But I got a couple messages in recent weeks that just said, can we stop with the doom and gloom about the offensive line, please? And I was like, I would, but I just, it's the elephant in the room, man.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing is that, honestly, folks, we won't know anything about it until
pre-season?
They put pads on. Yeah, preseason games. And here's the funny thing about that. Said, oh boy, he looked okay in that game against the Vikings. Ugh. Remember? He had to play left tackle.
Right.
And Fish had to play right tackle. Said played the whole game against Everson Griffin and that vaunted Zim front seven.
He just needs to be on the left side.
And
that must be it.
And then he got hurt. And miss all of camp again.
That's
so here, I guess all people can look forward to O-line-wise is you don't want to see Carlos Dunlap just abusing him or Jordan Willis just abusing him in ways. But anyway.
You wrote about the guards this week.
Yeah.
Which you know you're going to get a lot of hits and a lot of readers when you start writing about guards in the offseason.
Metrics.
Get that guard market cornered, boy.
Well, because here's the funny thing, Paul. So we're at the rookie camp, and I'm just kind of standing around thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. Clint Bowling isn't going to participate in any of these OTAs. It's like, who's playing left guard?
Right.
Like, somebody's got to take those first team reps. And so it was just one of those things where it was like, oh, and like, oh, yeah, by the way, Andre Smith's, like, learning a new position.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, for all the talk about the tackles, like, at least we in the center, like, you know who they are.
Yeah.
And you know who Clint Bowling is and where he's going to be, and that's great. But at least for a month.
So you run through, and you talk to all these guys.
Yeah.
All these, this plethora of young guards. Oh, unproven guards. Could we bore people anymore right now? Let's just do
people
it,
people like this stuff.
You know what? This is it. This is the deep and dirty right now. This is for our deep and dirty fans that really are into it. They want to talk about the bubble, the guards on the bubble, right?
Guards on the bubble.
Guards on the bubble. This is what it's about.
Well, what happens if Andre Smith can't play right guard? See, again, like, this kind of goes into the whole thing with the offensive line. So we're assuming Andre Smith, even Paul Alexander told me, he's like, I think it'll be okay. I mean, he doesn't even know. So Clint Bowling, we know, is going to start. So that helps. But, you know, what about injuries? I mean, all this other stuff. So, yeah, TJ Johnson, he started left guard in the season finale against a Ravens team that packed it in. But look, two games against the Ravens are the two games he played, and he played okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gets first look. Do you give your true backup center the first look at a guard spot just because of...
He's the only guy there with any experience.
Yeah, so he's played, obviously, Christian Westerman. You have no idea anything about your fifth-round pick. Couldn't get active, even over the third-string quarterback a
year ago.
You
got to feel like Christian Westerman's about to be Tanner Hawkinson.
So...
I mean, I just... In a world where you can't even get a sniff because the third string quarterback in an emergency might be able to run a pattern.
Yeah. And then even the season finale when we just assumed he was playing because
they wouldn't even because
Bowling was out and Sed was out and we assumed it was Westerman and then he was down anyway. So I think the thing that was Yes, I wrote about Christian Westerman and an undrafted guy, as BBP listeners know, and Alex Redman, that I found interesting. And it's funny how draft status maybe colors your opinion on this. Basically, both guys were like, yeah, I learned about, and you hear this to a certain extent, I learned about being a pro. I learned about taking care of my body, learned about like studying the playbook and understanding blocking schemes and angles and, I mean, Redmond if he makes a team, that'd be great because he's a great quote. He flat out said, I mean, you guys heard it last week. He's like, I never cared about that stuff in college. I just woke up Saturday and mauled people.
Yeah.
So he's an undrafted guy for a reason.
Exactly.
Well, what happened to your fifth round pick? You know, I'm really curious to see those guys perform. And, yeah, they're not going to be able to hit anybody, but if they don't understand, I mean, we'll find out real fast if they know what Andy's saying, what the call is, where they need to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. If they at this point, that needs to be a given for this, the one-up that they have.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be curious about on the offensive line. And the other part of it is, show me a guy who's not a health risk on that line, and I'll show you Russell Bodine.
Yeah.
That's
people hate it, dude. It's like when we talk about like their like best draft picks in a while or whatever. We went through that pre-draft. Mm-hmm. It's Russ.
It is, yeah.
Gotta have Russ.
Gotta have it.
He walked in from day one and started.
Yeah, and he hasn't been hurt.
No,
his one ability has been availability.
Yes,
he's been out there.
Which
and he has, for what it's worth, he's risen his game to average.
Yeah,
and. Hey,
look, when you look at that line currently, I mean, you know, Clint Bowling obviously is proven to be an above-average guard, right?
I'll give you that. Slightly above average,
yeah. Not Pro Bowl, but, kind of.
Upper
tier. Yeah. But again, you know, he got hurt, and that was really the first time he got hurt, right?
He's had an ACL in 2013.
Okay, so going back, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then, obviously, the way he's been hurt. Consistently.
Fisher's
been dinged consistently.
Andre Smith
has been dinged consistently.
So those unproven guards are, I think, important.
Someone's going to play.
Someone's playing.
At some point, somebody is going to have to play.
Right.
Somewhere. Because there is no way. And you can maybe I'll eat this tweet, right? But, I mean, if you're going to tell me that Andre Smith, Jake Fisher, and Cedric Obwehi are all going to play all 16 games, there's just no way.
Smell a bet. What are we putting on the line for this one?
Is that mock draft season? Can we admit it's highly unlikely? That's highly unlikely?
It is highly unlikely.
When you consider
just look at
the three
histories,
of their histories.
Yeah.
And the fact that they'll all be out there. Now, you want to bet? We can talk about it. Hey, BBP listeners, you send us what you think the bet should be. We can talk about that and what the terms should be. But, you know, I would be shocked if these three dudes who have done nothing but been hurt the last few years all play all.
Yeah.
You have 48 games started out of 48 potential.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's
no
the
way
odds
it's
are really slim.
No way it's happening. So somebody's going to play, whether it's T.J. Johnson or Christian Westerman. And if one guy goes down, if it's Fisher, what do? You move Andre Smith to right tackle and you bring T.J. or Westerman or somebody else in. Or if Bowling goes down, what happens there? Does Winston play? If if the way he goes down, are you moving Fisher off the right to the left and then Andre out, and you're making three moves for one, or do you play Eric Winston at left tackle? None of this should make you comfortable.
No.
You're uncomfortable with the guys that are starting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's
and boy, we're going to have this conversation a lot between now and September, whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, it's it'll be interesting. But it goes back to kind of like how we started, though. You know, if A.J. Green's healthy and he is Tyler Eifert, who knows? But if John Ross is as advertised, if Tyler Boyd, who I thought really improved in his route running and getting open, and there's an opportunity there for sure.
Yeah,
with this offense, and that can ease a lot of.
If this, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I mean, I think everything is there except the giant question mark on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's where in a lot of what we hear from fans, and I would agree with you, is where the frustration in Witt and Zeitler leaving comes from. Is you would feel so much better about this offense if you had one of those two guys.
Yeah,
even if it was just Whitworth. If you had Whitworth and the way he was the backup, and you just feel so much better about everything.
Yeah,
they don't, and that's where they're at. That's why they are whatever they were to win the AFC. I saw the odds came out today, and they were down the line quite a bit.
Yeah,
you'll have that. You know what I was doing, Jim?
What were you doing?
During my time off, I was growing a paternity beard. I was. It was unsightly. Let me just tell you, an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment.
I would believe that, to be honest.
Which is a I got to say, I made it a week. I needed to shave the day that my wife's water broke. It had been too long. And then of course that happens, and I embraced it. And then next thing I know, when you've got a newborn, like, you're just up all the time and you're rarely paying attention to anything. And then every once in a while, once a day, I would just catch myself in the mirror and just like startle myself and then turn in one direction and see like, oh, what is going on here? None of this is good. I am not a beard grower. Like our photographer, Sam Green, can grow a beard in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
This is not.
Sam can grow a mustache just like during a Bengals game.
Yeah.
Like Sam, like we see Sam pregame and then postgame, he's got like that 80s stash. Yeah, like he's got like the Oates stash, the Hall stash.
Yeah,
whichever one of Hall and Oates had the stash.
Yeah, I feel like they say to him, Sam, we need you to send some photos in at halftime. He's like, I can't, I'm shaving. All right, that's where my segue was. Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club, of course, sponsored BBP. You can get a great shave at a great price and conveniently delivered right to your door. It's an awesome life hack, no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep yourself to the store, buy the cheap disposable razor, gives you a cheap shave, or spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech you don't need. You don't have to do any of that stuff.
No, and look, you got to get the DSC Executive Razor and the Dr. Carver shave butter.
Oh, the shave butter.
Because it glides so smooth. And it's transparent for a very precise shave. Prevents those ingrown hairs and razor bumps like you got on the back of your neck. Yep. You don't have because you use the Dollar Shave Club and the Dr. Carver shave butter.
A dollar shaved.
Smarter choice, better. Paul.
And what? I make smart choices.
You do.
Happy about that. So limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's shave butter for only $5, free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks. It's $15 value for only $5. So in your first month, you get awesome weighty handle, full cassette, 4 cartridges, tube of shave butter, all the good stuff.
And after the first month, you get replacement cartridges shipped automatically at the regular price. No hidden fees, no commitments. And because, again, they're sponsors of the BBP, go to dollarshaveclub.com/beat. dollarshaveclub.com/beat. We got you hooked up.
Very exciting. Very exciting. All right. Let's move on and talk a little bit about. So Joe Mixon's still a topic of conversation. He was invited to the rookie premiere, which is all the top offensive players basically go out and it's like a big media thing, and they show them their Madden ratings, and
they get a card, and
yeah, it's really It's just, it's the whole show prestige thing.
Yeah.
Deal or no deal? Matters, doesn't matter. Are you surprised?
Yes, but no. I mean, John Ross is going to, so let's say that. A lot of first round picks. Yes, because he's like a mid, he's a, what, at the trade down, is that middle tier second round, right? The yeah. second offensive player selected for a team.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be a starter right away. So, yeah, I'm surprised in that regard. But I guess.
I mean, there's 40 offensive players.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, he's in that mix.
Yeah, so he's in the mix. But not surprised because, again, you talk to anybody who just spoke about football, and some people had him right with Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey. So
yeah, but this is more of a when this is kind of more of a PR thing.
But that's
anyway.
What I mean. That it's like a PR like so they so like people thought he people has think he has star talent. So
yeah.
it would make sense that he would go to an NFLPA star event in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised with that. But surprised
and the PA
bit.
Is going to have his back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too.
I think
maybe if this well he wasn't invited to the combine, so if this was like. An NFL run thing? I don't think he's there.
No, but it's the players.
Yeah.
And the players are going to have players' backs, yeah. I guess. So maybe that's where the lack of a surprise comes. But, you know, I don't really think it's a big deal. You don't want him to start getting a big head about anything.
Right.
You need a humble guy who's not thinking he's bigger or better than anybody.
Right.
That maybe would be my only thing that I am, but that's minor. You know,
yeah, and
it's up to the locker room to help keep him grounded.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, Paul, because that actually this was a conversation I had in the with somebody in the locker room that there will be sort of a reality check for Joe. So he was talked to today, and he was talked to last week, and actually some of his teammates were giving him a hard time about being interviewed every day that he's in there. Mm-hmm. Part of it's because John Ross isn't allowed to be there, but also it's just the news cycle, and like he's not going to start. Jeremy Hill's getting the first carry of the Bengals season.
You think? For yes. sure? You'll say that for
all
sure?
Oh, without a doubt. Jeremy Hill's going to be a starter, and when they hand it off behind whoever's playing left guard, right guard, left tackle, it'll be number 32.
Jeremy Hill will gain 1.5 yards on the first
so
carry of the season.
So I think, aside from the firsts, hey, Joe, you like got hit by Vontaze Burfict for the first time in practice. Hey, you had your preseason, like from the local perspective, unless he just busts out and runs for 120 yards or has, you know, becomes an immediate star, the water levels here in Cincinnati. Cause like, guess what? AJ Green's a star and Tyler Eifert's a star. And the quarterback is like you dude who got like 8 carries and 46 yards of total offense might've looked good, but like no one's going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you seem to disagree with it.
You know, really,
here's
the thing. I do agree with you because of what history here tells us. They're not one to throw a rookie second-round pick in the mix as a starter. They didn't do it with Gio. They didn't do it with Jeremy, so I don't see them doing it with Joe Mixon, particularly when they have Gio and Jeremy still here.
Right.
That said, there clearly was frustration in the building over Jeremy Hill's lack of production
right.
the last 2 years, or else Joe Mixon wouldn't be here.
Right.
And they wouldn't have extended Giovanni.
Right.
Right?
Well, no, look, this could all change. I think Jeremy's window is the time Gio's out. Like, I think if Jeremy doesn't take advantage of the fact, because Joe's going to be Gio until Gio's back. And if Jeremy's running for 4.5 yards a carry.
Are we thinking Gio's not going to be ready for the...
I think he probably could physically be ready by the start of the year, but they'll be like, you know what? He hasn't practiced. We're gonna let it roll a little bit.
Yeah, they might ease him in because
yes.
of Mixon being
right.
here, where they could play Mixon in the third down role.
Right.
And maybe I could see that. I also could see Gio having a hell of a recovery and being back in camp.
Too.
I mean, we've heard great things about his recovery and I could absolutely see them. And, you know, if Gio's healthy, if he's 100%, he's the guy they want out there on
yes.
third down for
yes.
sure.
Yeah, yeah, especially at
the over top. A rookie.
Yes, especially with the issues of that we just saw documented with the offensive mm-hmm. line. Andy's going to trust Gio to pick up Terrell Suggs before anybody else on that team.
Yes.
So, but
anyway, I don't know. I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk, but history and everything that we know about this team makes you say that Mixon would not be starting on day one. The only thing that makes me doubt is how poorly Jeremy played last year.
Right. And to me, Paul, I think he's going to look good in camp. I think we're going to, because we said it last year. Wow, Jeremy's got the Vikings practices. Mm-hmm. Wow, he's got some zip. He's hitting a hole. He's not dancing. He's, you know, remember he got in the pushing and shoving with Tez because they hit each other, you know, and it was like, wow, Jeremy's back to being Jeremy. So I think Jeremy's going to have a good camp. And I think it's going to be one of those things where, because Marvin Lewis has said it all offseason, Jeremy's the guy, we believe in him, contract, blah, blah, blah. So I just think at the start, it's going to be, and then Jeremy, if he's got 3.0 yards per carry, after the first couple weeks, then it can maybe change.
Yeah.
But I think
early
on.
Then you start to see a rotation. Yeah. Well, you'll see a rotation of some sort.
Yeah.
My thought would be they'll start off with like a every, you know, 2-1 series like they do.
Yeah.
But Gio is third down back. Assuming Gio's healthy, you'll have Jeremy for two, Joe Mixon for one, Jeremy for two, Joe Mixon for one, and then they'd let that play out and see after a couple weeks how it falls. We're already solving season problems. Yeah, we aren't even near it.
Well, we've already proven we deserve to be in some kind of front office.
Seriously, should we just go back right now and look at those and see how we did? Because, I mean, we did pretty well as far as I'm concerned. Let's take a look right now. I want to take a look. All right, so we're just going back right now. Here is what we said to do, and this was on, what day was this? January 12th.
Yeah.
January 12th.
Shortly after the season.
Yeah, right after the season. These are the personnel moves the Bengals should make. We said sign a kicker in free agency. They kind of did that, not really. The Bullock they brought back, but they opted to go the draft route.
Yes.
They wanted to just pick one of the best draft guys and devote a resource to him. That's fine. We mentioned in there if you want to go that way, also an option, you know. So I'm okay with that. That's basically the same thing. Resign Whitworth and Zeitler. They did not do that.
No, they did not do that.
They did not do that. And that's why we've spent a lot of time talking about the offensive line here. One best, get younger on defense by releasing Maluga, Pecco, and Dansby. They did that. Old linebackers being issue, needing a young one.
Yeah,
they Kevin did Mitchell. That with Kevin Minter.
That was my pet project this offseason.
Trade AJ McCarron. That has not happened.
No.
And it doesn't look like it's going to. Did thing happen?
Yeah. Yeah, that was
before that happened.
Yeah, that was before that was.
And drop a tender and collect, you know,
right.
Either a second or a third. All right, so the McCarron thing is not happening.
No.
After that, we said that you need to make a bold draft move. I think you can say that happened when you consider they took a receiver in the top 10.
Yeah.
And then they traded back and still took Joe Mixon and added a fourth.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about movement in there.
Yeah, especially because I don't think Ross was the guy, I guess, a lot of people would have thought early, or like top 10-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe, but to me that was, and then of course, man, I don't think there was any bigger, bolder draft move just on, for just like PR purposes than being the team that picked Joe Mixon.
You know, taking Joe Mixon and the guy who broke the combine record is fairly
bold.
Fairly bold. Plug number 9 is a starter, we said. I don't know if he'll be a starter, but he will be out there quite a bit. They're definitely going to have stuff for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think because it's Marvin Lewis, so Brandon LaFell's going to quote-unquote start every game because that's like the depth chart and what they've got to send to the league 90 minutes before.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think by the end of the year when snap counts shake out and, you know, important possessions shake out at, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he's going to be
definitely
player,
have packages for him,
yeah.
For sure, because you go four wide and you could have Ross and Boyd in there in the slot. And I think that after a while, you're going to see him playing over Brandon LaFell, and certainly there'll be some sort of alternating. They'll come up with stuff. You don't have that guy and not use that guy. At least if they don't, then we'll be riding ahead. draft an edge rusher early. They basically did that. I mean, they didn't take any with the first two picks, but they went back to back on the third and fourth.
Yeah.
So they kind of tried to make up for it with quantity over quality.
Yeah. I think when we wrote this, back in January, we were thinking for sure they would go 9 at this spot at like on January 12th.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If not 41. So I give us a single on that because a third round pick is early when you had 11
yes.
to make. So, but to be totally fair to the reader, yeah, I think at the time we were thinking earlier.
Seeing eye single.
Okay.
No, hit relatively well.
Yeah.
Bounced over the second baseman's head. We hit it so hard into the ground.
Yeah, okay. That works.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
We're touching on all the sports. All we need is a hockey analogy later, and we're going to be in the Big Four.
Well, I have been standing on my head without you,
you have. At
the last few weeks. So
you have. Well done. Replenish at running back was the last thing we had, and obviously we talked about the need to go to the draft and bring somebody in there, and they clearly did that.
Right. And just sort of and forecasted Rex Burkhead's departure as well.
Yes. So here's the big question with that, Jim. If the Bengals stink, is it our fault? Does that mean we're a bad GM? Does that mean like we're Matt Millen? This would be bad.
Well, I'll take the credit for getting all of these right, and if they're bad, then it'll
be
your fault.
That's my fault. I knew it.
No, I think we could go back and say, well, these were the right moves, just the wrong guy.
Right.
Like maybe you shouldn't have signed Kevin Minter and like the other linebacker they visited.
Exactly. Yeah, well, anyway, we still I'm proud of us for doing that. Let's talk about why you're mad cuz what do you mean no?
No.
What do you think we're not going to talk about why you're mad?
Yes, we're not. I did this last week. I said I can't kill the good vibe on your return.
Sure you can.
But
you're killing my vibe by not being mad about something. One of the things that always makes me happy is that you're mad. So you can't. I don't care what you said. You need to be mad about something. I know that there is something.
Well, yeah.
So just let it. You'll feel better. Don't hold it in.
I screamed at in the gas stations. I let it out.
In the gas station.
At the gas station. Why do you have to hit so many damn buttons to get gas?
It's unfortunate.
Do you want gas? Yes. Is this a debit card? No. Yes. Do you want a car wash? No. Yes. Now there's commercials. Do you know you can save 10 cents a gallon if you get the thing and hit yes or no?
You drive credit. I get those at UDF. The you drive thing. That's like a whole other thing that you have to go through. I don't want that.
Zip codes.
What?
Receipts.
Zip codes, I'm okay with. I would like to have to put a code in order for someone to use my card for gas. Or I'll have left the pump, and next time I turn around as I'm driving off, I see somebody just spraying gas into the air on my dime.
I just, you know, sometimes I just want to get gas.
Yeah.
Look, I graduated college in 2002. I'm done with multiple choice. I'm done with picking answers. I want to pump gas. It's driving me crazy.
Do you want to go back to
it's making me really?
Do you want to go back to a world where you roll up and it's ding ding, and the guy comes out?
No, because I'll get real mad at them self-service dudes
because they probably there's one
by the house, and I don't like that.
They're pretty hard to find anymore. Yeah, self-service gas.
Yeah, I don't want another. It's like watching a man sing a song. I don't want to watch a man pump my gas. Like I want to pump my gas quickly and efficiently,
and not have,
not have to answer 9 questions or look at commercials on the little screen.
I don't mind once I've pushed my buttons. Play whatever you want on the screen while I'm standing there, but don't do it before I've started the gas process because I gotta stand there and wait for the gas to go anyway. Then play your commercials.
Yeah. But see, they're rolling it now in the little screen. Before the other yes-no questions. It's not the TV commercial. It's that other.
I know. I don't like that. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I'm with you. There are probably too many buttons.
So that's
making do you get car washes at gas stations?
Occasionally. And when I say occasionally, it's like I need, like it's been raining, especially in the winter, you know, where I'm like, I haven't gone through the good ones, so I'll occasionally.
I had a problem with my car twice where it broke going through a car wash at a gas station where like some water got up into some part that wasn't covered correctly, and I came out of the car wash and my car would only go 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And so I had to cross, for Cincinnati folks, Montgomery Road up in Kenwood. I had to cross from where that BP is and get across the street and down the road a little bit to a to an auto place. You want to talk about treacherous. 2 miles an hour. I probably could get up to five, I think. But I could, here's the other thing. I could reverse at a regular speed because something was wrong with the front. And this goes back to when I had to reverse through my neighborhood because it wouldn't go forward. I've had this problem multiple times. And so I was like trying to reverse down the road. It was a whole thing.
Well, basically
scene.
Finding out is that we need a car sponsor for the BBP. Paul yes. and I will gladly talk about our new leased vehicles and how it goes forward.
Yeah, and I can get it washed anytime right. I want to without concern over exactly. it dying. Let me tell you why I'm happy. I obviously have a lot of reasons yeah. to be happy. I'm not going to choose the obvious one. I'm obviously happy about that. I shouldn't have to explain that to anyone. You know why I'm happy? Is that I did not have a child in the age of even 20, 30 years ago, even earlier than that maybe. Before paternity leave was like a thing.
Yeah.
And like, we have a really nice paternity leave package where they take care of you and understand the importance of being with your family and with your newborn yeah. and take that time and go do it. And our company has been incredible about that. And it's been really great. Dude, our parents didn't have this. It was that baby was born. I expect you at work tomorrow.
Yeah. And yeah. they drove that baby home with no seatbelt and a bucket seat.
No, they held it out the window when it needed air.
We survived, Paul. We made it.
Here we are. But I got to say, I'm happy about paternity yeah. leave. And it's just nice to not have to worry about that stuff and have you picking up behind me. It's been great to just have focus on this and the way companies take care of dads. Here's the thing. You go through the whole process when your wife's pregnant and you know, you go to all the doctor's appointments and everything. They don't call you by your name. They don't even call you. You're just the guy. You're either dad. You're just dad. Like, I was never called Paul in a doctor's office during yeah. all the visits that I went to. I was nameless. When I went to the hospital with my wife, I didn't have a name. I was just dad in the background. Yep. Like, I don't get any, they don't even look you in the eyes. You're not a human. And I get it. And that's all deserved because this is not about me.
Right.
100%. But finally, it was like after 9 months, no one caring about me. Not that they should, but no one cared about me. It was just nice for my yeah. company to be like, you get paternity leave, Paul, because your needs are also important. Not as important as your wife's or your baby's, but worth getting a little time to take your time. So I'm happy about that. That
it's
was
nice. It's a good thing to be happy about.
It is a good thing to be happy about. So that's where we're at with that. Anything else? What else? I mean, we've done a good job filling some time, so we've got to talk about what music we're going to go out with.
Well, this is dad's choice.
Yeah. I got one. I would be the worst new father ever if I didn't play like a great Ode to Your Daughter song, you know? There's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah.
A lot of men have sung a song about a little girl.
They have.
If there's something that a man's going to sing a song about, it's going to be about a baby girl.
Yep.
And there's few men that I want to hear sing a song anymore than Stevie Wonder. And so I just feel like it's just kind of one of those things. Isn't She Lovely is an unbelievable song. And it's Stevie.
Yeah.
It's Stevie. So you got to show some love to him. And so I think that's what you should go out with.
Yeah, you know what? And he'll be able to see this podcast too.
Stevie probably loves podcasts.
Yeah, he does.
Like the fact that podcasts have become a huge thing. When did Stevie cut the cord, you think?
Oh, man.
You think he liked to listen to TV?
Stevie can watch TV, dude. We're not going to get into this. I'm a Stevie truther.
Stevie can see.
Oh, yeah. Without it. I ain't going to ruin it. I'm not going to ruin it. Let's play your song.
Wait, what do you mean you're not going to ruin it?
Just get into Stevie.
You're telling me Stevie Wonder can yeah. see. You're 100% on this. Like, yeah. you look pretty serious.
You can catch that mic, man. You seen that thing? Now, I am willing to concede he's got some like mystical ninja power too, because he is blind and like his like he's like Daredevil.
Super senses. He can hear the mic falling
and like weird Daredevil stuff. But why is he courtside at a basketball game? Stevie can see, dude. And he can sing. So let's hear Stevie sing.
He can definitely sing. All right, so let's go out. This one, shout out, of course. Thanks to everybody that sent tweets and messages, friends, family, BBP listeners, everybody at the Inquirer. Jim, obviously, thank you so much for helping out as we had our big day. So anyway, this one to my daughter, Mabel. So Stevie Wonder taking us out. I don't see or not. You can sing. Talk to you.